Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. You're about to hear the Serving Today program, which is for pastors and church leaders. This episode was recorded with the late Phil Crowther back in the early 2000s, before he went to glory.
Welcome to Serving Today, the program for pastors and church leaders. I'm Derek French and it's good to be with you. True Faith. Phil Crowther looks at preaching through some more of Mark chapter 9. Well, we continue today our study in Mark's Gospel. Last time we considered the earlier verses of this chapter, which describe the occasion when Jesus was transfigured. Today we've come to a long section in chapter 9 from verses 14 to 29. Phil Crowther is with us again to help us understand this part of Mark's Gospel and also to give us a sermon outline to work on so we can preach from this part of God's Word. Phil, what title do you have for this longer section?
No faith, no power.
Right, again, interesting comments. I'm sure that'll become clear in a moment. What about background that we need to be conscious of as we prepare our sermon?
Well, remember that the main thing that Jesus wants to teach his disciples is this: their Messiah must die. We read it in Mark 8:31. And Jesus says it again in Mark 9:31, and also in chapter 10, verses 33 and 34. Perhaps we could read verse 31 in chapter 9.
Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise."
So how does this section, verses 14 to 29, fit into that? That's the question we need to ask. How does it teach the disciples to believe Jesus? Well, Jesus has just shown three of the disciples his power. They've learned that they must listen to Jesus and trust his plan. And you can read that in the first 13 verses. And now Jesus comes down the mountain to find the other disciples. How have they got on without him? Mark 9:14 to 29 tells us, and we find that they have not put their faith in him.
Phil, I'm sure that will become clear in a moment why you've said that. What about sort of points in this passage 14 to 29 that we need to be aware of?
Well, we just need to understand a little bit what's happening to this man. It's important to notice that this man has an evil spirit, and this is not the same as the illness that we call epilepsy. Epilepsy can look similar to verse 18, if you could read that.
Yes, we read, whenever the evil spirit seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid.
And we see that again in verse 20. Now, we must not think that a person has an evil spirit when he has epilepsy. Epilepsy needs medicine to help.
Yes, thanks for that, because I think that's often something that people do get confused about, don't they? Mm. It's a similar thing with mental illness as well, very often.
People, that's right.
Which is quite wrong. Okay, coming back to the sermon, what would be the main point of that, and what do we need to be aware of in our preparation?
The main point is very clear. We can do nothing without faith in Jesus. And you can see that with the disciples. They couldn't do anything because they weren't trusting in Jesus. And something to work on, a couple of things to work on, really. The first is only Jesus has the power to heal. Only Jesus has the power to tell evil spirits to go. Now, we can ask Jesus to heal or to tell an evil spirit to go, but we cannot do this ourselves. In verse 29, Jesus says this kind can come out only by prayer. Now, this may be something that you need to explain to your people. And the second is, sometimes people tell us that we need big faith. But the father of this boy with epilepsy shows that the important thing is Jesus's power. Always help your people to look at Jesus and not at themselves. We can get worried that we don't have enough faith, but the important thing is that Jesus has enough power.
Yeah, I think that's encouragement, isn't it? Because very often we feel our faith is weak.
Yes.
But the issue is not the strength or otherwise of our faith, but as you said, of his grace and power and his ability. Well, let's come to the sermon and two headings again.
The first, no faith in Jesus, no power. And the second, faith in Jesus, healed boy. So, no faith in Jesus, no power. Let's read verses 14 to 19.
When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "O unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me."
Now try to picture the scene. Jesus has just been up the mountain, and three of his disciples have seen his great power. And now they come down. What do they find? Can you picture the scene? It looks like the devil is in control. The boy has a terrible evil spirit. The other disciples can do nothing, and the crowds are arguing. You see, the point is that the disciples have no power against the evil spirit because they have no faith in Jesus. You pick that up in verses 18 to 19. The disciples were asked to drive out the spirit, but they could not. And Jesus tells them off for their lack of faith. The problem is that they did not believe Jesus. Not just now, but before. He had told them that he's going to die and rise from the dead. But they didn't believe him, did they? If we don't believe Jesus' death and resurrection, we can have no power. We can have no faith in him. Jesus' death and resurrection is the only power that defeats the devil.
How do you suggest we sort of drive this home again in our sermon? What lessons, if you like, do we need to point out at this point?
Well, I'll suggest a couple for you. You can find others. But the first is this. You know, the devil wants to be in control of your life. He doesn't often come inside people like this poor boy, but he certainly does want to control us in other ways. And you can explain some of these ways. For example, fear of sorcery or love of money. These are ways that the devil controls people. And if you don't have faith in Jesus, you can have no power against the devil. And the second lesson here is for those of us who do believe in Jesus, and yet, sadly, we forget to put our faith in him. And then what happens? We have no power in our lives. We're like a radio without a battery, or a television without electricity. And so we need to pray and to trust Jesus' power. As he says in verse 29, this kind can come out only by prayer.
Yes, and prayer, of course, is trusting in him, isn't it, and not in ourselves.
Indeed.
Yeah. The second point you said was faith in Jesus, healed boy.
Yes, we've seen what happened when they didn't put faith in Jesus. Now what happens when they do? Could you read verses 20 to 29?
So they brought him, this is the boy. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer."
You see, this poor father doesn't know if Jesus has enough power. Of course he does. But here's the question. Does the father have enough faith in Jesus' power? You see there in verses 22 and 23, the man says, "If you can do anything," and Jesus says, "If you can, everything is possible for him who believes."
Phil, there's a question that I can anticipate some wanting to ask is, how much faith did the man have to show? How much faith do we need to have?
Yes, we read in verse 24, the father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." He had a bit of faith, but not enough, he thought. Well, the father may not believe completely, but Jesus is always so glad to see faith. And straight away, Jesus tells the evil spirit to go, and the boy's well.
Yes, I often think, Phil, isn't it, you know, even weak faith, this is not to encourage weak faith, but even weak faith is real faith, isn't it?
It is, and I think many of us can identify with this man. We feel that our faith is weak. We feel like him. And it's important not to be afraid. It's a great encouragement, isn't it, that Jesus accepts this man's faith for what it is. We should say sorry to Jesus, shouldn't we, that our faith is weak? And then begin to put our weak faith in our strong Jesus. Don't think a lot about how weak you are. That will just make you feel depressed and anxious. Instead, think a lot about Jesus. Think about his power and trust his great love. And he'll hear you. And then you'll see his power working in your life.
The point that Phil Crowder has just made is so important. We need to constantly look not to ourselves, but to our precious Saviour. When we concentrate on ourselves, we see so much of our weakness and frailty, and it's no wonder that we begin to sink or feel worse. Instead, we need to lift our eyes above, where Christ is now, seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's in the place of supreme power and authority, and is more than sufficient to come to our aid. It's often struck me that when Jesus was humanly speaking at his weakest, when he was dying on the cross, he still had the power to save one of the thieves dying by his side. If Jesus could do that then, how much more can he come to our aid now that he is highly exalted? Well, our time's gone, and we must bring this edition of Serving Today to a close. Thank you for being with us, and remember, we're always pleased to hear from you and to help you further. If you have any questions arising from today's programme, then you can contact us at the Serving Today address you'll hear in a few moments. Until next time, this is Derek French saying goodbye, and may the Lord strengthen our faith so that in turn we may be able to strengthen others.
Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. There are a number of ways to get in touch. Our email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Find us on Twitter @servingtodaygbm. Or you can search our web catalogue at www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Thanks for listening and goodbye.